So, Be'ezus Hashem, the next few weeks, we will be discussing the topic. I was asked to discuss some end-of-life topics. The main end-of-life topics we already discussed. Those of you who were here the week we discussed the stipler. So the discussion of when it is okay to stop treating someone, that we already discussed. So I figured I'd discuss another hot topic. That is the topic of what's come to be known as brain death. But I want to take it from the way that we normally do, and our mahalach usually is that we take it from the historical perspective. So again, brain death itself, I will refer you to different articles if you want to get the exact intricacies of the halachic. We'll discuss the halachic topic and the basic makoros that the Piskei Halacha revolve around, but I want to come at it from a different angle, perhaps more of a historical angle, how the shaila evolved and the different tshuvas, the different sources that are being quoted, in what context they were written. So the story really begins in the year 1772. And it's interesting to see how this shaila evolved, because it's unique. And you'll see what I mean by that in a minute. I'm reading now from a book written by a chavrusa of mine, a friend of mine, who wrote extensively on the topic. He's an MD, Rabbi David Shabtai. So he writes as follows in the chapter 9 of his book, Defining the Moment. He's in Boca now. Yeah, very good. So he writes as follows. In 1772, the Duke of Mecklenburg-Schwerin, a town in Germany, promulgated an edict that required delaying all burials in his jurisdiction for 3 days after presuming that a person had died. You can't bury someone until 3 days have elapsed from the moment of death. In those 72 hours, signs of organic tissue decomposition following death should become obvious, adding certainty to an otherwise nebulous determination. They weren't sure if the person was really dead, so we could only be sure if we wait 3 days. That was the law of the land, 3 days. This edict was followed by numerous others in many locales after a rash of premature burials were discovered, with the press describing numerous instances of the supposedly newly dead rising from their casket. This and similar edicts caused great problems for the Jewish community, which insisted on as speedy a burial as possible after death. So this edict is declared in 1772, and the Jewish community is up in arms. We're not allowed to wait for anything. We try to bury right away. 3 days, that's for sure not going to happen. So who's the first address that they turn to try to solve this? Someone who we're very familiar with, someone who won't surprise us, actually perhaps had connections with the government. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden. We know Rabbi Yaakov Emden from his Svarim, obviously, and from the great controversy of the Shabtai Tzvi controversy, his controversy with Rabbi Yonatan Eibschitz. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden was a powerful figure at different points in his life. Again, he had a very interesting life. He was on the run for a lot of it, but he was a powerful figure, and Rav Yaakov Emden was turned to by the different communities and said, perhaps you could help us out over here. Now, we know that Rav Yaakov Emden had a very close connection with someone else who played a large, major part in history, who perhaps his reputation is a little bit surprising that Rav Yaakov Emden was so close to him, and that is a person by the name of Moses Mendelssohn. Moses Mendelssohn is a person who is probably by historians is now viewed as the father of the Reform movement, even though he himself, as we will see, was not only a Frum Jew, but he was a learned man. But he began the innovations and he began a lot of the changes. So he was close with Moses Mendelssohn. Moses Mendelssohn refers to him as your disciple who thirsts for your words. They were very close and they had correspondence on many occasions. So Moses Mendelssohn had even closer connection to the government. Rav Yaakov Emden tells this town, whatever town it was, why don't you go to my friend Moses Mendelssohn and perhaps he will help you out. So they go and they turn, they ask the shaila from Moses Mendelssohn. The shaila that was posed to Moses Mendelssohn is on the page which is labeled number 1, which is actually the first page after the cover page. So the shaila was phrased as follows. Lemarbe hamishra hachachma utfuna umoda lemada be'im shemo yagidu. Just to show you the attributes with which they describe him. Yefeyu b'mesoras guluyim lo shtari mazoras nogel lo laila k'shemesh halacha meitiv latovim l'reyim huhu ha'olaf hatoroni varabani hamashulam hachachma hakolel mehulo k'marenu harav Moshe. Shmua shamanu begoyim lahavir es am Hashem lo leches b'chukas hagoy. They're trying to take us away from our tradition. Dershu el amesim tafsu emunas avosam. Hema yabitu yiru banu. Behiskomimam aleinu ladush das hakadmonim. They want to take our tradition and they want to uproot it from us and not let us follow it. Laharos binyan nefesh baltashav ruach el amakom. They don't want to let us bury someone, allow him. Again, we believe that the neshama doesn't go ultimately to its final resting place until the burial is completed. They don't want that to happen until for 3 days. Perhaps you could help us out. Hema biksuvim ba mitachas hanugit hakotzin. Laharosa lechavod ma'alosa pekudas hapakir duchas. V'anachnu b'shem Elokeinu nazkir shi'yi alanu le'melitz u'lefatron u'lifnei ha'amim v'asarim le'ames emes v'chesel umet. Perhaps you could go and serve as our advocate in front of the duke, in front of the government, to try to at least exempt us from this edict. Go down to the underline. U'lai nimtza ito chefet shlomo v'hoshiv hasar midaita. Perhaps you could change his mind. V'sham nemar gzeira zos acher she'enu chokok b'das Moshe. After all, this gzeira is one which is not permitted. So this is the shaila, the gist of the shaila which was presented to him. And to their surprise, and obviously to Rabbi Yaakov Emden's surprise, and to his chagrin, the response was not exactly what they expected. All right, we have the response right following this. Again, this is all taken from the new tshuvas of the Chassam Sofer. They collected all the history behind a lot of the tshuvas. So the actual tshuva penned by the Chassam Sofer, which we will discuss either later tonight or next week, is in the regular Sefer, the tshuvas Chassam Sofer. In the back, they bring all the historical context. So they have this tshuva written by Moses Mendelssohn, where he writes as follows. Michdavam hana'im min ha'chadash ha'aver higiyani v'ra'isi mitocho. Shesaru Moshe ha'aretz ahi gozar aleihem lehashos es meisehem. He requires you to keep your dead people shlosha yomim terem hikbarim bekura, 3 days before you could bury them, because they're nervous that you're going to bury them alive.
But
it was the law of the land, so they weren't going
to.
No, it's for everyone, it's for everyone, it's for everyone. But he's saying they should make an exempt, they should let the Jews be buried alive. He says, you're going crazy as if they're trying to take you away from your religion and trying to persecute you. He said, that's not what's going on over here. They're trying to persecute you. They don't want you to be able to keep the Torah. I don't know why you're going crazy. What's the big rash? What's the big deal? Why are you going crazy? If I wouldn't know, if I wouldn't have known that your Rav was actually a Talmud Chacham, he's someone who knows how to learn, I'm still not going to stop. And I know he paskin that this is a problem, but I have to put in my opinion as well. Kilanias daiti, says Mendelssohn, Kilanias daiti ein bedover hazeh shum nidnur ha'avara al das chas v'shalom kasher choshvuhein. There is no problem over here whatsoever. Vim omru chazal. Now he's getting into the sources. Now we have to be careful. Okay, we're going to be discussing for the next half hour and probably next week as well. The topic, again, it's going to be two topics sort of combined into one, and it's because they're inextricably linked. You can't separate them. And that is, but we always have to be cognizant that there are two shilas going on, and the poskim won't necessarily tell us which shilah they're dealing with, because to their mind, it's the only shilah. And what I mean is as follows. When you're discussing the moment of death, so there's two questions that have to be asked. We have to ask the question, is there in a single moment in halacha where we understand before that the person was alive, after that the person is dead? Does that moment exist? If that moment exists, what is that moment? How do we define, as Klal Yisrael, how do we define death? What part, physiologically, what has to happen for the person to be considered dead? That's one question. Question number two, which is also dealt with a great deal, is once you define that, Perhaps we don't know that that took place until much later. Meaning, no one's arguing that death doesn't occur until the decomposition of the body starts. What they're arguing is, we don't know when death happened, therefore we can't be 100% sure until the decomposition. So we're going to have to understand both of these areas from the halacha's perspective. First we have to understand, and we're probably going to do it backwards order because historically that's what happened. First we have to understand what the point of death is in halacha, and then we have to understand that perhaps that's hard to figure out, even once we define it. Perhaps just in the course of a regular layman can't know if that happens. Let's say we say it's when the heart stops beating. Okay, not necessarily could every person know how to take pulse exactly. Maybe there's a faint pulse and this person can't detect it. So we define, let's say, just for argument's sake, death as when there's no more pulse. Okay, we define it. But now we have to tell a layman, when could you be 100% sure that that occurred? Two separate questions. We're going to start discussing right now the question posed by argued upon between the Yavetz and Moses Mendelssohn during this time was, at what point could you be sure that death has occurred? Not what is death, but at what point could you be sure that whatever it is, it has occurred, and therefore burial could take place right after that. So just have that in mind as we go through. Now we're going to begin going through the sources. He's the first one in this tshuva. He's going to, again, he's not the first one to do it, but for our purposes, he will be the first one to bring up some of the mikoros which have to be dealt with in this sugya. And again, remember the context is, he's saying, I don't think this is such a bad idea. I think perhaps this is something we should embrace. We, after all, in the news, we've been hearing all these news reports about people being buried alive. So maybe this is something we also should be concerned about. What are you going to tell me, says Moses Mendelssohn. Vim amru chazal, hamelin ez meso, over below sase. You'll tell me there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, someone who leaves the dead body over, even for a single night, you're over below sase, it's asa midaraisa. Harei hitiru lahalin mishum kavod hames. But we know that we allow people to remain not buried for kavod hames, right? We do that all the time. The case of the Gemara was when they had to bring tachrichin and they had to bring people to be masbid. But all the time when we're sending a body to Eretz Yisrael, how are you allowed to send a body and delay the burial a day to send it to Eretz Yisrael? Because we assume it's kavod hames. So you're allowed to delay a burial for kavod hames. So if that's true, says Moses Mendelssohn, over below says, harei hetiru lahalin mishum Kvod hames lahavi lo aron v'tachrichin. For kavod hames, we're allowed to do it. Umekonenos, to bring people to be maspid. Okadeshi avoa krovim lashmi ala yaros. V'im mishum dover kal kazeh. And if we permit it for something so lenient of kavod, such as kavod hames, hitiru lahalin alachas kama v'kama am yesh o ninnu safik bedover pen nishar bo ruach chayim she'in l'kavra. If we're going to allow you to push off the burial because of kavod hames, alachas kama v'kama, if there's any doubt whatsoever that the person is still alive, and we see, he says, that it's clear that we haven't been getting this correct, obviously, because of all these stories coming out, So if that's true, okay, so maybe we could discuss the time. It sounds like he's focusing on the principle of the issue. Exactly the time. Maybe he would say 2 days. Okay, we'll have to see. But he says, so maybe this is pikuach nefesh. If we're concerned that someone's being buried alive, this is pikuach nefesh, and there's nothing to talk about. He says, I'm not concerned about the iser of Baal Talin at all. V'ein l'cha davar sh'oimim b'tnei pikuach nefesh. So obviously not the response that they were expecting to get. They're asking him to advocate on their behalf. He says, nah, I think it's a great, great idea. Let's go a little further. So now he's faced with the problem. Why, if this is really a chashash of pikuach nefesh, why didn't the Gemara ever say, you gotta wait a day, you gotta wait 2 days, you gotta wait 3 days? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, bury as soon as you can. We covered a mace, you could wait. But why does the Gemara say bury as soon as you can if the Gemara knows that we can't be 100% sure for a long time? So this is a big problem with what he's presenting, a problem which is, to many, going to be insurmountable, and therefore they're going to have to reject him. But how does he get around it? So he says as follows, Ki hayu koivrim, so why was it not a problem in the time of the Gemara? Nira leni azdaiti pasha. It's obvious. Shelo hayu tzrichim lekach b'yameim. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't need to wait 3 days. Ki hayu koivrim es meseim be'arosu bekuchen. They used to bury the dead not underground, but in caves, things above ground. So if that's the case, in caves and things like that, so then there is no concern. If someone woke up, just walk out of your casket. You're good to go. There's no pikuach nefesh involved. V'hayu poiktim aleim shlosha yamim. And for 3 days, they would go back to the graveyard to see if the person's still alive. They would go back. And he said, oh, im shav rucham el kerbom, or perhaps they came back to life.
Yeah,
he has a fascinating mocker. A little further. Kidisa b'meseches smachos, one of the meseches kitanos, meseches smachos, a collection of brises. What does it say there? Yotz in the beis hakvaros. You go out to the beis hakvaros, upoked in almesim. You go check out the dead people. Ad gimel yamim for 3 days. Ve'ein choyshishim mishum darke mori. Don't be concerned that this might be a practice which came from the non-Jews. Why? Maisa shepaktu echad. Because there's a story, a famous story that happened that they went to visit someone that had died. V'chai chofei shanem v'acherkach meis. And he lived another 25 years. They had buried him 25 years early. That's what Maseches Smacha says. Echad v'hoilid hei banim. He had 5 more kids. V'acherkach meis. And then only after having 5 more kids did he die. So, he says over here, it seems clear from Maseches Machos that they used to go and check, but now that we bury underground, so we can't do that anymore, so perhaps the appropriate thing to do is to wait 3 days. Again, part of what I want to... Yeah?
Historically, this was at the time of the Gemara before?
Yeah, time of the Tanon. Time of the Tanon. So, part of what I want to glean both this week and next week, because every step of this halachic inquiry has two facets to it. There's the halacha, which we'll be focusing on, but there's also the tension of the times. And perhaps there's no greater sugya to be able to feel that as we do now. Because we're going to have an argument between Moses Mendelssohn and the Yaivitz tonight. Next week, Bluneder, we're going to have an argument between the Chassam Sofer and the Maariv Chiyas. And these were people who were obviously the times where there was great turmoil going on, the times with the birth of reform and a lot of transitions happening, and different rabbanim, different leaders embraced it in a different way. And a lot of it comes out through the sugi. Even in this tshuva alone, you see how willing he is to forgo on the mesorah, to forgo on practice, forgo on minhag, and say, this makes sense to me. He brought the mekoros, he brought from Chazal. This is what makes sense to me. I think we should adopt it. Let's go a little bit further. The imadover kain, if I'm correct about this, yafe amru kol amancha mitasa hareza mishubach. You push it off, it's the better. Delek lemecha shlemidi. There's nothing to be concerned about. Avo anu achareisha anu koiver mes meisenu. But we who buried underground, ve'inyan she'iyav shar lifkot elayim, we can't check up on them anymore. Bevadei she'ro'i lanu lahashos es meisenu. We should delay the burial. Ad she'yotzu mechlal safek chai. Until we are 100% sure, without any doubt, that the person is no longer alive. Vim yera lanu chas v'shalom k'maisa shuhu meseches v'achos b'amen estadik. Unless the Rechmanu Litzlan, the same history repeats itself, we will have no idea. Rechman al-Sun cut 25 years off the person's life. And he finishes off, and everyone knows that we don't know exactly when death occurs. And at times, the person will seemingly be dead, and then he'll come back. And the harpy will have stopped. The tishbas and Hashima will stop breathing. Everyone around will think that he has died, and it's not true. Therefore, he says you have to wait until the meat, the flesh, begins to decompose. Okay, for time's sake, let's skip down a little bit to the next paragraph. V'hine yiru ma'alasam harama es tofes habakasha sheledaiti ro'i lahem levakes me'ish ha'moshel ha'aretz. Ki meduma sheyisratzu lezeh v'chol ish ha'mashkevoysev yenuach b'shalom. This is a good thing. V'ulam lo yisratzu hine ein toiv lahem milasos kemase kadmonenu livnos ma'adu v'beis ha'kfaros l'tahir sham es ha'mesim keminag lifto galeyem shlosha yomi v'achar yikbiru. Again, he reiterates, I think this is not a bad idea. We shouldn't be fighting this. It's obligatory upon all Jewish communities even though I know they probably won't listen to me, because we know in Jewish tradition there's nothing stronger than a minog, perhaps they will even accuse me, which they probably will, accuse me of being a little bit too lenient, wavering on our tradition. Hine anochi es nafshi hitzalti. What could I do? At least I have said my piece, and I will not be blamed for this. Again, a very interesting tshuva, not a tshuva that we would probably have expected from him, but tshuva well grounded in Chazal. Clearly, he hasn't rejected everything, but he's trying to be a trailblazer, and he's pushing the envelope. To this, obviously, the community comes back to the Yavetz and they says that first plan didn't work so well, right? That didn't go so well. So they come back to the Yavetz, and the Yavetz, not only do we have the letter which he wrote to the Duke, but he pens a letter to the community, I believe, and to Mosen Mendelssohn, telling him why he disagrees and why he's disappointed with his tshuva. And that's the next thing we have over here. Again, just to keep things to remember where we are right now, in terms of the halacha, there are basically two sources. One we read inside, and one I will share with you now. Two sources supporting the view of Moses Mendelssohn that we should wait and allow for the burial to be waited. One is a very strong proof from the Seches Machos that it seems to say clearly that there's times where we are not sure when death happens, and because of that, we can't bury until we are 100% sure. The other one is a Gemara Maseches Nida, which I skipped over in the Tshuva, but take a look on the front page in Mar Makom number 6, where I bring the Gemara in Maseches Nida, where the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara is talking about a complicated sugya, Mar Makom number 6, complicated sugya of Tuma La'achar Misa. What type of Tuma does a person give over even once he has died? Hazav v'hazav v'anida v'yoledes v'metzorah shemesu mitam'in b'masa. Even once they have died, they are mitame b'masa if you lift them ad sheyimo kabasar, until their basar, their flesh, begins to decompose. Says the Gemara, why do you have to wait till the basar decomposes? My time, Amarav, gzeira shema yis alfe. What we're concerned about? The same thing. We're concerned that the person will faint, or something of the sort. He will not have a pulse for some time. He will stop breathing. Whatever it is, we won't be able to detect. We will think that he is dead, but he really won't be dead. And therefore, he'll come back. And if we think he's dead, and therefore we say he's not mitame tuma zav for whatever reason, we're going to be mekel, and then we'll see. A few minutes later, he comes back to life. People are going to begin thinking that, okay, a zav is not mitame tuma smasa. So again, you see another time where Chazal themselves are saying, you can't be 100% sure that a person is dead until the flesh begins to decompose. These are two mekoros in Chazal.
How long does that take?
So, no, that in their time they were saying that it began. No, in their right, exactly. So, Chazal in Maseches Nida don't say a specific time. You have to wait till it decomposes. In the what? Right, exactly. So,
if it decomposes,
well, from the Gemara Nida, if it starts to decompose, then you should go. You don't have to wait a specific time. You have to see that it's starting to decompose.
What was the change when they did up to down, from above ground to below?
Yeah.
What happened? Chazal Institute, no more up, now down. What does that change?
I don't think it was from.
My question is, when they changed that, didn't the Chazal at that time did the Shiloh? No, so they buried up. They waited 3 days. Now you're burying down. Why wouldn't they at the time have said, okay, now?
Good question. Okay, so let's see the response of Rabbi Yaakov Emdin to Moses Mendelssohn, where he says as follows. Shalom Rav, Hakotzen HaTayroni, Hamaskil, Moshe, Kosvu HaNechmad. It says on page number 2, the next page in the handouts. Kosvu HaNechmad, Ha'avar Ba Eli. I got your previous letter. L'Eis Erev. I got it right after Shabbos, Moshe Shabbos Kodesh, La'ez Erev. V'ra'isi chashka lamod al daiti eich atzdik minag Yisrael. And you want to know, I see that you are questioning what the minag Yisrael should be, and what the minag Yisrael has been, as you just said. Minag Yisrael has been l'dari daris to bury right away. L'zos ashiveu davar. So I'm going to respond as follows. And you see again the tension between someone who's willing to, when something makes sense, to change the minhag, and someone who's saying, this is minhag Yisrael, we have to be matzdik the minhag. Choshku lamba radaiti lozos hashiveu davar. Kishe digia liyado chuvasi laanshe shmerin. Bichsav mole et nenula. When you see the letter, the tshuva that I wrote to the community, you'll see that I have very good, solid proofs. Min hamikra, from the Torah, v'zosa sisi rak l'shufra demilsa, l'bakoshas ha'anoshim ha'heim ha'om demilai b'yosem itonu po, cholu panai loseiz yodai ve'etzba'i, lasos kirtzon ish, l'hafiz das ha'sar, shoel l'havi lo rayim min ha'torah o min avim l'mina ka'lazat ha'fiz. You'll notice that I brought many proofs in my letter to them. I brought many proofs from the Mikra, from the Torah Shebichsav, from the Nevi'im. But don't think I needed those proofs. I brought them from the proofs because the government was saying they're not, unless you could prove to me that your religion really requires this, we're not going to bend. So I did it to appease them. But I didn't need to do that. But in truth, I don't need any proof from the Torah because what Chazal say goes. And we don't deviate from what Chazal say, even one little iota. So I don't have to validate our halacha, our minhag. It's for sure okay. Chazal said it, and this is our tradition, minhag Yisrael Torahi. All I have to do is respond to the very powerful questions that you raised. You raised very powerful questions from a Gemara in Nida, from the Brisa in Meseches Smachos, which seems to say that we do wait until you're 100% sure. Why am I not concerned about that? Rishon Tchila, Nemar Bekisva Zeh Lashoni, Lo Yadati Eich Matzanu Yadenu Vireglenu, Madu Asarnu Yiminog Avaseinu HaKadoshim, Heim Kavru Maseim Bekuchim Umeara, Vehoyu Pogtim Osam Gimel Yamim. They would visit, they would bury them in a cave, or the like, and they would visit for 3 days. Kid the East of Meseches Smachos, and from that story, it would seem to indicate you can't be 100% sure until 3 days have passed. Don't even think about thinking or questioning the minog Yisrael, which is so widespread. Where else could you find a minog that all of Klal Yisrael is so mechan? All of Kaiso agrees to this. Don't have any questions. This is 100% okay. That's not the problem. This is not a problem. Lo noda v'lo nishva v'chol ha'olam b'mekomos ha'shenifutzu shama achenu b'nei bris she'inhagu minag acher im kivuras meseyam mimashinogim anachu baratzaseyam. So first point he makes is don't deviate from the minag. If you have a question, you have a question, you could come and look for answers. But don't just reject it. You discovered the world. Who knows what has been going on, that everyone has been wrong. That's not our approach. We don't assume that everyone has been wrong until now. You have to assume that there's some understanding, and we have to investigate and figure out why that's true. And if you can't come up with any answers, so then that's the point where perhaps you start to innovate. Skip down to the underline. According to you, there's a real sakonas nefashas here. Is it possible something which is so chomer, pikuach nefesh, no one has even raised this before, ad atash in his ora inyan, aideha umos, we have to wait for the secular government to raise this issue? Can't be. They obviously have some answers for you. Ad atash in his ora inyan, aideha umos, umevakshim alil linhog min hagam, shenitztaveinu lahav lihivodel mehem umichukosein. Skip down to the next underline on page 3. The following page says Rav Yaakov Endev, "Al kaponim eino davar mukhruch b'chiyuv hechlati elahecha de ikal emechash de nikbar ezem meis b'chipazan iyun v'hashkacho shehus haroi." So here is his answer finally, which he gets. He says the only time that you have to be concerned that a person was, God forbid, buried alive is when the whole thing happened in a very quick manner, when the whole thing was hastened for whatever reason, and they were rushed, and there was a rush going on, and they had to do it very quickly, and there's a chash, perhaps, we weren't as sure as we should have been when we buried him, so that's when you have to do it. But in a regular case, where everything happens benachas, everything happens calmly, and there's no rushing, and people are sure, and the body was there, and everyone was saying it was dead, the person had died already, and there's no rush going on, so then we don't have to be concerned. All those cases in Chazal, says of Yaakov Emden, those are particular cases where they buried them after, in a big rush, they buried them in haste, and there was concern afterwards that perhaps we had jumped the gun. But if you don't jump the gun, and it's not 2 seconds, the person stops breathing, okay, get the person in a box, and you waited a few hours, then you could be sure that the person was nifter, and the burial, you don't have to be concerned that the burial took place too early. It was done in great haste, without the proper scrutiny. For whatever reason, they were rushing, so they didn't do it properly. They weren't sure. When they deal with him, with a dead person, properly, with patience, like the Chevra Kedisha in our times, the Shashalom, and in times where we're not being persecuted and we don't have to do it under the gun so quickly in hiding, and the Chevra Kedisha has time, so there's no reason to have any concern that the person really wasn't nifter. It's such a far-fetched chance, such a miyuta de miyuta, such a minor chance that the person is still alive. We don't have to be concerned at all for that. And this is how you were concerned that we're not concerned enough about burial, waiting to make sure. And you said, how are we burying someone like this? Don't worry about it. All the Brisa was talking about was a case where they had to bury very quickly, and there was a suffix. There was a valid suffix. Perhaps they hadn't waited long enough. But in our cases, the Chevra Kedisha is so careful, there's nothing to be concerned about. That's the basic approach, the basic answer of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Skip down to the second column, where I bracketed it off. And what you said as follows. Again, responding to Moses Mendelssohn. Vim adavar b'safek ar gimel yavad, vaday hu bo mishum halonas hames, k'mo shekosev lahalin kidei lahavi lo aron, mikol shekem b'makom atzalas nefashah. And what you argue, that just like we're allowed to leave a dead person unburied because of kavod hames, the same thing should be true for hatzalas nefashah. Hishamer al tefen on zet, mi yachshav lo merkein. Who will say such a thing? Lo echshon ma'alasa shekavanoso laker din ha-mishnah kol ikar. You're going to say every single nifter, we have to wait 3 days, there's no problem of halonas hames. Shehi omeres kol ha-melin meso over chutz, like the Mishnah says, everyone who leaves a dead person overnight, you're over on the issir, you're over on a loisaseh. Ulefi dvarav yivaleit ha-nimshach behechad shekol ha-melin eno over. According to you, it comes out that not only you're not over an Isser when you leave the dead person over, but adarabah, yechuyav ha-hebuch shegam chovahi laholin ha-meis. Not only you're not over an Isser, it's a chiyav to leave the dead person over because you're not really sure if he had died yet. Tamid kama linos gimel yamim, at least 3 days, the fachos. Imkei masha yeres ledin ha-mishnah. You've basically gotten rid of the Mishnah. She'en lo tzir klal lifnei ha-nechta, chalila lechad. How could you do this? Now again, this is not the most powerful argument, because Moses Mendelssohn already preempted this. He said that no, the Mishnah was talking about a different case. The Mishnah was talking about when they used to bury them above ground, so there was no concern. But now, yes, for all intents and purposes, the way we bury now, perhaps we should go back to the old way, but the way we bury now, yeah, the Mishnah will not be relevant. Now skip to the underline. So here, the Yavitz brings in a very important source, perhaps the most important source in the entire conversation, which revolved around. That is a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Turn back to the front page. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Most of the brain death shayla, again, we're still not in the brain death. What's interesting about this shayla, coming at it from a historical perspective, is if you think about it, the shayla switched. Again, brain death was never a shayla. Right? There was no such thing as brain death. Brain death became a shaila when they started transplanting organs and they wanted to know, and it's obviously much more beneficial to be able to do an organ transplant when the heart's still beating. So if it's halachically dead, so then we could do an organ transplant. That's when the shaila of brain death became a big upheaval. Until then, there's no sense, we couldn't define whether there was brain dead, whether it was heart dead. Until the person died, he was dead. If he was alive, he was alive. So brain death is a recent shaila. So what happened? The shaila flipped. The shaila used to be, when are we allowed to bury? And you have the people being the machmirim, the chsam sefer, saying, we're burying right away. We're not going to be over an isser of halonis ames. We bury right away. We know he's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead right away. They're trying to make the moment of death earlier, because that's the tzad hachumra. That's the tzad to be machmir on halonis ames. And the people trying to push the halal, push the envelope, we're saying that, no, perhaps we're not 100% sure that he's dead. Now, when the shaila, that's the shaila in terms of how soon we could bury. So the Machmir are saying we could bury right away. But then when the shaila gets flipped on its head, and the shaila now is the shaila of brain death, so now the shaila is the opposite shaila. Now people are trying to say, no, brain death, you can't be 100% sure he's dead until you have to wait a little till you're 100% sure. So just because the moment the person stops breathing, you don't know he's dead yet, you have to wait a little bit longer. So again, you're going to have the machmirim on each shaila, it's going to be the opposite. The shaila almost reversed. It used to be a chumrah to say that, no, he's dead right away, and therefore I have to bury right away. And then it became, no, the chumrah was to say he's not dead right away, therefore you can't do an organ transplant. As like Ramesha writes in one tshuva, you do an organ transplant on this person, you're killing two people. You're killing the person, you're killing everyone involved. So after he's dead. The question is, they want to say he's dead once his brain death. The question is brain death death? After he's dead, you could do an organ transplant.
Organ is not as good.
It's not as good. That's why they want to... Okay, so let's take... So that will focus on the Gemara in Yuma. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Yuma. Before we read how Rav Yaakov Emden uses it. Marmakum number one. Misha nofla lav mapolis. Someone who is... A building falls on him. Safik husham, safik enosham. We don't know if someone's under all the rubble. Enoshab. Safik chai, safik mavis. Even if a person's there, we're not sure. Perhaps he had died when it fell down. Perhaps he's still alive. Safik nachri, safik Yisrael. We don't know if he's Jewish, if he's Yisrael. Mefakhin alav es hagal. So you could be mechal Shabbos, mechal Yom Kippur, mechal everything. Sakonas nefashos. To take away all the rubble. To make sure that the dead, that there's no one there who's alive. Matsu chai, if you find them alive. Mefakhin. The imes, if he's dead, yanichu, you leave him there till after Shabbos. Amar Rav Papa, the Gemara, we're skipping now in the Gemara, but the Gemara goes down into a whole discussion about how we know at what point you could be sure whether he's alive or dead, obviously very relevant to our conversation. Amar Rav Papa, machlokes mimata lemala. The machlokes that the Gemara was discussing of whether you have to check until his stomach, whether you check until his heart, whether you check until the nose to see if he's breathing, that's all when you're going mimata lemala, going up the body from the feet up. Av mimala lemata, but when you're going the opposite direction, you find the head first. Kevan divodak le ad chotmo, once you check his nose and you see whether he's breathing through his nose, shuv ein rotzarech. If he's not breathing through his nose, we assume he is dead. If he is breathing through his nose, obviously he's alive. Seems from this Gemara, how do we know? Dichsiv kol asher nishmas ruach chayim be'apav. Because it says, kol asher nishmas ruach chayim be'apav. How do we define alive? If there's ruach chayim be'apav. If he's breathing through his nostrils. Now this Gemara is going to be very important for both conversations. In terms of Yaakov Emden and Moses Mendelssohn, Yaakov Emden is going to say, we know how to define death, and we know that the minute he's not breathing through the nose, the Gemara in Yuma tells us clearly, he is dead, and I could bury him. I don't have to wait 3 days. He turns to Moses Mendelssohn. You're saying I have to wait 3 days till there's decomposition? I don't have to wait 3 days. The Gemara in Yuma tells me, the minute I see that he's not breathing through his nose, I know, end of story. You want to tell me the Brais Maseches Smachos? That's talking about a case where they were being persecuted. They had to bury the person in haste under the gun very quickly, so they were concerned. But a regular case, once you know for sure that he's not breathing through the nose, he hasn't breathed through the nose, 100% fine. Obviously, what we're going to discuss next week is this Gemara, same Gemara. When we're talking about brain death, the argument, again, it's a tremendous kula. The kula, just to clarify, why do people want to argue that brain death is death? Because the organs are much better to be able, they're much more viable to be able to transplant them if the blood is still circulating. So if you could figure out a way to say that the person is halachically dead, but the heartbeat is still going and the blood is still circulating, so that heart is very ripe for a transplant. You could take the heart out because he's halachically dead and give it to someone and give it to someone else. So the argument, the appeal is very high. The reason we want to say this, it's very appealing. We say he's halachically dead because he's brain dead. So what's the argument to say he's brain dead? So argument number one, we'll get into this in much more detail next time, is based on this Gemara and Yuma as well. We'll see how Rav Emden use it, but we're also going to see how the people advocating brain death use it, saying that how could you check just to the chotem? That means that if a person is not breathing, or not breathing on their own, or can't breathe on their own, that means they're dead. It doesn't say anything about the heart. You don't have to check if the heart's still beating. So as long as he's not breathing through the nose, it's fine. So here you have a person who's brain dead, he's on a ventilator, so he can't breathe on his own, they're pumping oxygen into him, but he's not breathing. So the person is dead, brain death is dead. This is the main argument is taken from this Gemara in Masechet Yuma. We'll see how the question sort of transitions from a discussion about how soon you could bury it, bury the person, all the way to what's discussed nowadays of of organ transplant, organ donation. Again, all revolving around this one shaila of how do we define death, and however we define death, how do we know if that moment occurred? So, to be continued. Please return the thing so I can bring them next week.
What about all?
Yeah, transplants. Yeah, yeah, not all organs. That's why I use the example of heart. Yeah. Right. Go ahead.